I would like to say good night to all who are with us here tonight. And those of you who might be visiting, we want to give you a very special welcome. This is a night when we will be preaching the gospel of the grace of God by which people can be saved. So we are going to read from John and chapter 3. Gospel by John and chapter 3. Okay. Gospel by John and chapter 3. We're going to read verse 16. I think if you see behind my back, there's a verse there, and it's the same verse we are going to read. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We ask God to let his blessings be upon the reading of his word for Jesus' sake. We have before us possibly the best known verse of scripture in all the Bible. There are so many people who know this verse. They learn it in Sunday school and they hear it over and over again. But beloved, this verse can never be exhausted because there's so much in it. For that matter, the verse begins with God. The verse begins with God and it ends with everlasting life. In the middle of the verse, you're going to find son, that word son. And if you break it up into words, you have 12 words before and then son and 12 words after. The son is in the middle of that verse. And we want to tell you, beloved, that the son is in the middle of God's plan of salvation. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And the other part is whosoever, and that's you. So it begins with God, the son is in the middle, and the final part speaks of you. God has made all provision for salvation that you can be saved. But you have that will to receive or to reject. And we trust that tonight is the night you will believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, own him as Savior, and be saved. As we look at this verse, some would like to divide it into three parts and say it speaks to us of a fact, of an act, and of a pact. For God so loved the world. If there ever was a fact, beloved, that is a fact. What is a fact? A fact is a true statement that nobody can deny. Like you go outside and you look at the sun and you say the sun is in the sky. That's a fact. You can't change that. We want you to understand that it's a fact that God loves the world. Not only that, you are part of the world and God loves you as an individual. Keep this in mind, please. And there's nothing that can change that fact. The love of God is a fact of life. It's a fact of truth. God so loved the world. This is God, the greatest person in the universe, loving the whole world. And when we read the world here, it speaks of the world of humankind. Men and women, boys and girls. He loves everybody. And you must claim this love. You can say to yourself, God loves me. It is quite true because God loves you. Because of this fact of his love, it caused him to act. Some tell us that you can give without loving, but you can't love without giving. A person might come to your house, might be a beggar of some kind, and you give him quickly just to get rid of him. There's no love there at all. You can give without loving. But beloved, if you love, and God's love is what drove him to give his only begotten son. If you love, you're going to want to give some sacrificial thing because of love. Love compels you. And God's love is what compelled him to give his son, that you might be saved, that I might be saved. God so loved the world that he gave. He is a giver. Some people try to make us believe that God is a grabber, that he wants. And so in some places, religious places, the biggest thing is the collection. When we have tent meetings and when we advertise our meetings, we tell the populace, everyone is welcome. Every seat is free. Collections are not taken at any of these meetings. The only thing you pay is attention. Because some people put an emphasis on religion as though God is a grabber and he wants the collection. But we thank God that God is a giver. And you find that he gave his only begotten son. He gave the best that he had. The greatest gift that could be given was his only begotten son. He gave his only begotten son. So the fact is that God loves you. The act is, he gave his son. That is already an accomplished fact. He's not going to give him. He has already given him that you might be saved. When you come to the end of the verse, the rest is to you. That whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And that is the pact. A pact is an agreement. It's a contract between two persons or two parties. If you do this, this is what you will get. And so the Lord tells us here, that whosoever believes in him, that's your part of the pact. Just to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. As you come to believe, you must have repentance. Repentance is just a change of mind. So you are going through life and don't care too much about being saved or so, but then it comes into your mind that you want to be saved. It means your mind is changed towards God, changed towards salvation. That is repentance, a change of mind towards God. The Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 20, 21, he says, how we preach repentance towards God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if only you can have these two, beloved, you'll be saved. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish. If you do not want to be saved, you can never be saved. But the moment the Holy Spirit moves your heart and you want to be saved, this your mind is turned towards God. This is repentance already. Repentance itself doesn't save you, but without repentance, a person can never be saved. The Lord said this when once they came to him and told him about a tower that had fallen and slain certain people. Then Pilate had mingled people's blood with their sacrifice. He says to them, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. In other words, without repentance, there's no salvation. That's the first step. If you never want to be saved, you can never be saved, because God gives you your free will and you must want to be saved. Once you want to be saved, you already have repentance. What's the next step? You must have faith. You must believe the gospel. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 tells us what the gospel says. How that Christ died for our sins, for my sins and yours. He was buried and was raised again the third day. That's the gospel, beloved. Get it into your mind. Get it into your heart. Accept the gospel. You'll be saved. When we look at Romans 10 and 9, it tells us that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, own him as Lord, and believe in your heart that he is risen from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So here's salvation for you. Salvation that you need not miss. Salvation that you cannot miss if you will follow the word of God. So the love of God is a fact. The gift of God is his act. And this pact involves you, that whosoever believeth in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. We read in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. It is not of works, lest any man should boast. Big word there is grace. For by grace are ye saved through faith. When we get into Titus 3 and 5, we read, it is not by works of righteousness that we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. So we are saved by grace. We are saved by mercy. We want to understand how these two work together. And I tell you up front, they are never separated. Grace and mercy have kissed each other. And anybody who is saved, he is saved by grace, the grace of God. And he's also saved because mercy has come in. When we look at this verse before us, that whosoever believes in him, whosoever believeth in him. Beloved, this is your responsibility. God has given you the ability to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. He has given you the ability to believe many things. And some people believe wrong things. Some people believe things that deceive them. But the ability to believe, God has not left you without that. So when he says, whosoever believeth in him, it doesn't mean he is a person who cannot believe. You can believe. You have been believing other things. Some things are misleading, but now you want to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. You want to believe the truth of the gospel. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish. You recognize grace or mercy there? That is mercy, beloved. Mercy is that which bestows. Mercy is that which withholds from the sinner the punishment that he rightfully deserves. Let me tell you a little story. It's a true story about real people, and it illustrates mercy and grace for us. The Trinidad Guardian, which is the normal newspaper, daily newspaper where I come from, some years ago, had a story that a woman in Digo Martin, that's a village, secured her house and went to sleep. She lived alone. She heard an awful noise in the night. And when she woke up and investigated, she found in her little washroom a man quite unconscious. He crawled through a little window. He slipped in the darkness, hit his head, and was unconscious. She called the police for him, and he was taken away. That's a true story. It came out in The Guardian. I use that story to illustrate mercy and grace. Suppose this woman said, "This young man, I don't want him to go to jail." What did the young man deserve? He deserved to go to jail. But she said she didn't want him to go to jail. What was she showing? She was showing mercy. Understand this. We deserve to go to hell and that lake of fire. But God is so merciful. Mercy stops in. And if we believe in him, we will not perish. But if we don't believe, what does the verse tell us? Well, you say it doesn't tell us, but it does tell us. He that believeth in him will not perish. Put it the other way. He that doesn't believe in him, what's going to happen? You don't need any education for that. If you don't believe in him, you are going to perish. But we are so glad to see how mercy comes in here. We deserve to perish because of our sins. But because we believe in him, mercy comes in. And mercy says, preserve him from going down to the pit, for I have found a ransom. Mercy finds a ransom. Mercy could forgive us for all our sin. If there was no mercy, beloved, we'd have to pay for our sins. But mercy comes in and can forgive us for all our sins. That whosoever believes in him will not perish. That lady said she didn't want him to go to jail, so she didn't testify against him. And although he deserved that punishment, he was spared that because of her mercy. To carry it a little further, just suppose after the courthouse scene was over, and they hit the sidewalk, and she said to him, "Son, I know you don't have a taxi fare. Here is $10. You tell me how he deserved that. He didn't deserve that. And that's grace. Grace is what gives us benefits that we could never work for, that we could never earn, that we could never deserve. And that is grace. It is by grace we are saved through faith. And that not of ourselves. It is the gift of God. It is not of works, lest any man should boast." So we find in our verse here, there is the fact that God loves you. There's the act that he has given his son that you might be saved. And now we are going through the contract or the pact. And your part is to believe. Could you find it in your heart to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ here and now? Could you say to him, "Lord Jesus, I own thee as my Lord. And I believe in my heart that thou art risen from the dead." And Romans 10 and 9 tells us, if you sincerely deal with him like that, beloved, you are saved. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God had raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So you can go home and tell them tonight that you're saved. And they say, "You saved?" Refer them to Romans 10 and 9. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, tell them, "I've done that. I've called Jesus Lord." The verse continues, "And believe in your heart that he's risen from the dead." I have done that. I believe in my heart that Jesus is risen from the dead. And the Bible tells me I'm saved. So you know that you're saved on the authority of the word of God. Beloved, it is so unnecessary that anybody should return home not saved tonight when God so loved the world. When God has given his only son, when he has given you a pact, a contract, if you believe in him, all these things happen. Mercy comes in and you're not going to perish. Oh, we deserve to perish for our sins. But when we believe in him, we will not perish. On top of that, grace bestows upon us eternal, everlasting life. We have everlasting life that is given to us by the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a free gift. Do you think that anybody in his right mind could refuse to get into this pact with God? After God has done all that is necessary, after the Lord Jesus Christ has died on the cross of Calvary, we read here, he gave his only begotten son. It might sound simple, but when you look at the details of the giving of his son became a man. He was born as a baby, and he became one of us. You see, we were partakers of flesh and blood, and he himself took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, and deliver us, who through the fear of death were all our lifetime subject to bondage. So he came and he died on the cross of Calvary that we might be saved. God loved us. The Son died for us, and his death was an awful death. It was the most cruel death that the Romans could devise. A prisoner was taken to that place where he'll be crucified. For one, he had to carry the heavy cross on his back. When he got there, that cross was placed on the ground, and the prisoner was made to lie on it. We see a soldier coming forth with a mallet and one with a spike in his hand. The poet says, "Oh, I hear the dull blow of the hammer swung low. They are nailing my Lord to the tree." Then the cross they upraise, while the multitude gaze on that blessed man of dark Calvary. What a scene. God gave his Son. It looks simple to us, but beloved, it was a very terrible act. It was a terrific act, giving of his Son, and the Lord gave his life for me and for you. So we see that cross on the ground, and the prisoner is nailed to it, hands and feet. And then some hefty soldiers, there's already a socket prepared. Hefty soldiers will lift that cross and drop it into his socket. He says then in Psalm 22, "My bones are out of joint." Bones are out of joint. All this suffering, it might look simple here. He gave. But you just think a while what the Lord Jesus suffered on Calvary's cross for you, and see if you could come up with this conclusion, that if he suffered so for you because God so loved you, and now all you have to do is to believe in the Lord Jesus and be saved, and you neglect this great salvation, you tell me how you're going to escape. Do you deserve an escape? How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? This salvation is great because of the great God who thought about it. It is great because of his great Son who died and suffered that great, who went through that great suffering on your behalf. There's not a greater offer. Beloved, what are you going to do? Salvation is offered. We are suggesting to you that you do not reject this offer. I'm going to read this verse again. It's a verse maybe you already know. "For God so loved the world," and that includes you, "that he gave," this is already accomplished, "his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him," and that is where you come in, "whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life." We can preach the word. God has loved you, provided his Son. The Lord Jesus has died for you. We preach the word to you, but beloved, you have to believe, and God has given you the capacity to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you'll be saved. If you find yourself in hell, you will not be able to blame God, because his love is still beam towards you. You won't be able to blame the Lord Jesus Christ, because he died on Calvary's cross. Do you know why we preach? You won't be able to blame us. And we want to offer our services here and now. As this meeting comes to a close, don't hasten away if you're not yet saved. Stay a while. You might have a question to ask. We'll answer your questions from the Word of God. We are your servants for Christ's sake. Beloved, God has laid on everything for your benefit. So if you find yourself in hell, you can't blame God, you can't blame his Son, you can't blame the preacher. Who's to blame? Don't do that to yourself. You'll be the only person to blame. If you die in your sins and find yourself in that lake that burns with fire and brimstone, don't do that to you. But stay a while tonight and make sure that you're saved. We have time. We can answer your questions from the Word of God. And you can be saved tonight. May God help you to believe and be saved this very night for his name's sake. Let's pray. Kind Father in heaven, we thank you. The entrance of thy word gives light. And we thank thee that thy love and thy mercy and thy grace are so great that there's not a sinner so far from God, but Jesus can bring him home. So we thank thee, Father, for thy word that went forth again tonight. And we pray for any who might be halting between two opinions, that they'll make their minds up, that they'll take the offer, they'll get into this pact and believe in the Lord Jesus and be saved this very night. We are praying not only for this meeting, but wherever thy word has been going forth, maybe some meeting is beginning somewhere, maybe some meeting is coming to an end, other sinners are halting between two opinions. Father, we pray for them and ask that the Holy Spirit will strive with them, and they will not reject the Lord Jesus Christ any longer, but they believe in him tonight, him whom to know is life eternal. So we pray they'll dismiss us with thy blessings and take us out into the open air. Give us liberty and help as again we seek to bring the gospel unto those who are dying in their sins. We ask, O Father, the word will go forth with power from the Holy Spirit, and that we'll have the joy of seeing souls saved right in this meeting tonight and also out in the open air meeting. So accept our thanksgiving, and now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and may thy love, and may the fellowship of thy blessed Spirit rest and abide with us now and forever, we pray in his most precious name. Amen. Could we kindly sing a verse or two of him? We are in I hear thy welcome voice that calls me, Lord, to thee, number 64, for cleansing in thy precious blood that flowed on Calvary. I am coming, Lord, coming now to thee, trusting only in the blood that flowed from Calvary. Let us sing this hymn, number 64, just before we leave.